91. All right, let me read the first four verses here. We got through these last time. Verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Okay, I wanted to touch something I kind of went off and forgot to cover totally last time. We were talking about somebody abiding beneath the shelter of the Almighty, under the shadow of His wings. And so let me just run you to a couple of things. There was something I forgot to show you. I was mentioning to you that I grew up around chickens. and the reason that's important is because I went into when I started reading my Bible, of course, I was saved as a kid, but started reading my Bible, I misunderstood something for a little bit, and, you know, it was one of those things that confused me for a little while, but Matthew chapter 23, if you wouldn't mind, we covered this last time, and I didn't give chickens a very good report. I mean, I like eating them, but they are not particularly noble creatures, and so there was a question I had in my Bible about them for a while because, like I said, I grew up with grandmas that had, you know, hundreds of chickens. And so in Matthew 23:37, when I first started reading the Bible then, you know, I read across this verse, and, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." Okay, so being around chickens my whole life, I'm thinking, the Lord's talking about barnyard chickens, right? And it was not till a few years later that I realized probably not. And I kind of said something about it last time, but I didn't give you the full reason that I had decided that the Lord is actually not talking about buck chickens. And the reason why is actually a biblical thing. It's not just me preferring something besides a chicken. It's Deuteronomy 32, if you wouldn't mind. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And down around verse 11. Now, no question, in Matthew 23, he's talking to Israel, because he's addressing Jerusalem, the city. And so Deuteronomy chapter 32, down in verse 9, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob, Jacob, is the lot of His inheritance. He, God, found him, Jacob, in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness, and led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye." Now watch. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest." Now, interestingly there, God's the eagle, but the illustration He gives is the eagle stirring her nest. Now, God's a he, but He has the eagle stirring her nest, "fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord did lead him. There was no strange God with him." So that's why I don't think the reference to the hen and her chickens is barnyard chickens in Matthew 23. The hen is also an eagle. An eagle mother is a hen. And I think this is the only place that chickens is used in the Bible in Matthew 23. But it talks about our young. And so that's the reason I think that the hen and her chickens is an eagle instead of a, you know, Kentucky Fried, going to be one day, you know. So anyway, back to verse 4. Okay, so that's a primarily, those two passages, Deuteronomy 32, Matthew 23, is primarily, of course, Israel doctrinally. There's no reason you can't claim some of this as far as you being called into fellowship with the Lord and you being in the covert of His wings and being near Him. Says in verse 23, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. That's not noisy. That's really nasty, grievous disease. So we're probably being cast now forward into what? The great tribulation. He says, he shall cover thee with his feathers. And again, doctrinally, prophetically, he is talking about Israel in the wilderness. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And so if we're going to make it a devotional application, then he's talking about us being in fellowship with him, with his truth being both shield and buckler. Now we know that in Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God, it's the loins that are girt about with truth. Now there's no reason that truth can also be a shield and a buckler. Truth is a shield. Truth is a defensive thing, right? You're always well to know the truth. But the buckler is a small shield with like a knob on the front of it. Sometimes there's a spike on the end of that knob. Sometimes the shield is not bigger, much bigger than a dinner plate or a serving plate. And the idea was to be able to defend against sword blows, you know, hand to hand. But also with that buckler, you also can jab somebody, jam them. And so it's also an offensive weapon. And so sometimes the truth is defensive, but sometimes the truth is offensive as well. You're supposed to hit somebody with it, right? So down in verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Okay, so again, if we want to talk about prophecy here, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to arise. The sun shall arise one day with healing in his wings in Malachi 4, right? That's Jesus Christ rising up at the second advent. So the day of the Lord is primarily the second coming, from the second coming on to through the millennium. That's the day of the Lord, right? And so, you know, you look at this, okay, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. We're currently in the nighttime awaiting the second advent of Jesus Christ. We know that we're getting out in a pre-trib rapture before that, before the great tribulation. These folks are going to go into the great tribulation. And one of the things that's going to be the case just before the sun rises, that several months, if it's 3.5, or whether it's 3.5 years or 7 years, those months are going to be horrible months, the last of the night. And there's going to be terror there. They're going to be perpetually pursued, and with the Antichrist trying to kill them all, right? And so you have the terror by night. What you have to say about that to some level is that since the night is far spent, the day is at hand now, where we're going to get out before the great tribulation part, but still the terrors probably are going to continue to increase, you know, for us until we're raptured, right? Because if it's going to be bad in the great tribulation, it's got to be getting bad in the late church age, correct? And so when it's talking about the terror by night, you know, practically speaking, you know, kids are always scared at night. And frankly, some adults always are too. I don't know about you, but I won't call it terror or fear, but I feel there are times that I wake up in the morning, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning, just, you know, between sleep and sleep, and there's a pressure, I won't call it terror, I won't call it, you know, panic or anything like that, because it's not, but there is a pressure there sometimes, depending on what you're dealing with, right? If there's a time that you are afraid, it's probably at night. And so he talks about a terror by night. Now, one thing to remember about all this, folks, is that 2 Timothy chapter 1, you have to be aware that one of the devil's great weapons is fear, trying to get you scared, trying to keep you scared, trying to stampede the herd. And we saw that happen during COVID. We saw it happen at various points. It's always something to be afraid of. Just, I know, I'm sorry for the fires up north and all that stuff. And I know that smoke in the air bothers people with, issues with their lungs and all that stuff. But to listen to the news and to watch the weather alerts, we were to the point of dying because there was a little smoke in the air. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. But whatever it takes, it's always something. If it's not, it's the weather terrorists, it's the pandemic terrorists, I'm sure they're going to bring asteroids back into it soon. It's been a while since I heard about an asteroid going to destroy us, but that was a big deal for a few years ago. Some of you are too young, I'm supposed to remember that, but oh yeah, for sure. It was a guarantee we were going to all die by an asteroid. Then we learned we were going to die by COVID. And me thinking all this time that we were going to die by killer bees. If it's not one thing, it's another, right? But the terror, the thing to remember about all this, folks, is that it's always right to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I do know that you know this, but 2 Timothy chapter 1 is just a real important thing to keep in mind so that you know that you're not called to live that way. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. There's a difference in being afraid of the Lord, fearing the Lord, and having a spirit of fear whereby you sit around with both sets of fingernails in your mouth, and they're all flying off like husks, you know, like that, and you're just worried about what's going to happen. Whether it's Republicans and Democrats and all that stuff, or whether it's some stupid disease, or whether it's the drought, or whether it's the floods, or whether it's something, it's just never right. The poor farmers, they never have it right. We're either going to be so dry that they're not going to be able to get the crops in the field, or else it's so wet because there was so much snow melt that we're not going to be able to get the seed in the ground. It's never right. It's just never right. Somebody's always beating a drum. And the bottom line is most of us have lived lives that have pretty much been fairly independent of all the things that people said we were supposed to be scared of. The killer bees never arrived at my house. And the Ruskies didn't bomb us in North Texas before I left. And it was set in stone that was going to be the case. Remember, no, some of you don't because you're too young. Mad cow disease. What, 3 or 4 Canadian cows got mad cow disease? It was a sure thing that we were all going to have to become vegetarians lest we eat mad cows and get mad cow disease. And it never happened. If it's not one thing, it's another. So just remember, you've not been given a spirit of fear. God doesn't want you running around scared here. He wants you to fear Him. But He doesn't want you running around scared. Look, if you will, in 1 Peter, if you wouldn't mind. 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice, and we started this with the word terror here in Psalms 91, where it said that we should not be afraid of the terror by night. We're applying it to us. We're not in the tribulation. We're applying it to us. But you'll notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Now he's talking there about who is he in verse 13 that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good. You say, well, I know people that got arrested, but you didn't get arrested. In the main, you've been left alone, even by the worst government, you know, of our lifetimes at certain times in the past. You've been pretty much left alone. Even in the height of COVID, nobody went to jail here, right? And so a lot of the things that the world is always beating the drum that we should be fearful of, you shouldn't be. Just go on about your life. How about that one? Okay, back to Psalm 91, but I do believe that you are seeing an increase of the terrors, you know, stresses, anxieties, people being afraid, people being easily panicked, because we're being trained for that. Who's training us? Well, it's the media, sure. It's the news, sure. It's, you know, this, that, and the other, but it's the devil. The God of this world is doing the best he can to brainwash you so that when they say, boo, you jump and run. And it shouldn't be that way. Back to Psalms 91, verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. I do believe that that's talking still about the great tribulation, and that there are things in the tribulation for those people that abide out in the wilderness, where if they're out there just trying to survive, they could be killed any night, true. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So warfare, folks hunting them, trying to kill them. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. He's prophesying there's going to be a bunch of people that die, but it doesn't have to be you. He may be moving forward there into the second coming of Christ, where the Lord's going to bring back an army, and none of them are going to fall. But he says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, folks, look in Psalms chapter 4. Psalms chapter 4, verse 8. We talked about fear for a second. Now, let's talk about safety. Because in verse 8, 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I suppose only for us, the judgment seat of Christ, for others perhaps, the white throne judgment, will tell of all the viruses, germs, things that could have happened that didn't, that the Lord thwarted in our lifetimes. You probably have no clue. I mean, there are things that we couldn't even foresee that the Lord just said, nope, not, it's not his time yet. Nope, nope, nope. I mean, how many times? I mean, the Lord and Job talked, and the Lord and Satan talked over Job. And, of course, the Lord allowed the devil to try Job. I wonder how many talks before the devil's come along and said, can I kill him yet? Nope. Come on, it'll only take one virus. Nope, not his time yet. No. An accident on the road, you have no clue how many accidents you've avoided just because you stopped at a stoplight. The Lord saw fit to have you forget your glasses, and you have to go back and get your glasses at the house. There's no telling, and only you know, because, and you don't know, only the Lord knows, because it's he's a safety's of the Lord. Look in Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 31, where it says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You can prepare all you want, but some of your preparations are not worth a dime, because you can't think of everything. You can't ward off everything. God has to ward off quite a bit. You're healthy today because of the grace of God. And God providing you, God having a reason to let you live. You know, those old soldiers that, led troops into battle where they, went hand to hand, not horizon to horizon, where literally, the Civil War generals, Stonewall Jackson believed, because he was a Calvinist, but he believed that he was as safe in battle as he was in his own bed. And so when snipers were shooting at him, he just sat there. It's amazing, And I know that there's some of that can be too much, but the truth of the matter is that within the will of God, as long as you're not being an idiot, where the Lord says, well, the guy's being an idiot, so I'll just let him get killed. Right? I mean, if you're going to challenge a train on train track, well, okay, I'll just let you kill him. But in the main, I mean, folks, you are, as long as you're in the will of God, you are safe until the Lord says, okay, it's time. Now, don't challenge him. Don't do something stupid, right? But safety is of the Lord. Now, again, I'll just say it for the third time. Don't do something stupid. Because the Lord says, might say, well, fine. If you're going to be that careless with my temple, you can destroy it. But in the main, there, what I'm trying to say is there is no reason for you to yield to the fear-mongering of the news media, of this world, and of all the things that you hear that's going to happen. You can go to YouTube and hear all kinds of stuff on, you know, Bible preaching and teaching that where they're trying to scare people to death about all the things that are going to happen, or this could happen. Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So you're scared of that, too. How about not? How about not? How about just concentrating on reading your Bible and praying, raising your family, making a living, and doing what you can for Jesus Christ? And, you know, there's times for precaution, no question about it, and please be safe, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but buckle your seatbelts and all that kind of stuff. But there's only so much you can control. In the end, it's the Lord that spared. I can name times the Lord spared my life. I know he did. And so just think about those things. All right, back to Psalms 91, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. No, I got further down than that, didn't I? Down in verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now, if you're sitting in the tribulation and you're a tribulation saint and you don't take the mark of the beast, you're going to see the reward of the wicked. What you need to realize is that, I have the numbers here actually. The wicked is mentioned 78 times in Psalms. He's mentioned 72 times in Proverbs. And the Bible, there's 250-something times that the wicked is mentioned. And what many times, it's like 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, the wicked is capitalized because he is the Antichrist, the devil incarnate. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Talking about the mystery of iniquity in verse 7, doth already work, only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked, notice that capital W, wicked. Okay, that's the Antichrist. Now, when you go back into Psalms and Proverbs, sometimes the wicked is inclusive of a group of people, that's true. But a lot of times it can be applied to the Antichrist, the wicked. Because that means that the righteous of Psalms and Proverbs can be prophetically applied to Jesus Christ. And you'll find that if you think about it that way and apply it that way prophetically, you'll find so many times that the wicked, you can see in the passage, is the devil, and that the righteous is Jesus Christ. So back to Psalms 91, and go down to verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I mean, there'll be a day that the world gets to see the devil, the Antichrist get trampled underfoot and sent off into hell, right? Down in verse 8. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Now there is the psalmist writing, saying, because thou, talking to somebody, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And what he's saying there is that you need my God. Now, that's what the world needs. The world needs my God. And you shouldn't be bashful about it. The Lord that is my refuge, you need to make your habitation. He is my strong tower. He is the only strong tower that there is to be offered. He is what you need, right? Back to verse 10. Now this becomes prophetic pretty quick here. There shalt no evil befall thee, neither shalt any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now again, if we've been talking in part here prophetically, doctrinally, about a future group of people in the Great Tribulation that are going to go through some things, they're going to see, according to the verse or so before, the wicked get trampled and tied down and sent off into the pit. Okay? Well, there's also a group for whom no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Go back to Deuteronomy 31 for a second. Let me just run this through. There is a group of people in the tribulation called the Jews, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, and God is going to trouble them for how they have treated God's things and God and God's Son, by the way, in the past. Deuteronomy 31. He foretold it a long, long time ago. Deuteronomy 31, verse 28. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. He's getting ready to die. And he says, gather them all together. I got some stuff to say. Verse 29. For I know that after my death, ye shall utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. Evil will befall you in the latter days. So he's projecting out from the point that he dies in Deuteronomy, late Deuteronomy, all the way out to the latter days in the future for us. He said, you know, evil will befall you in the latter days because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And so he's projecting that forward. So there's a group that goes into the Great Tribulation. We know it's Israel. And a whole bunch of them are going to get killed. There's going to be a mere remnant left. But to that remnant, he's going to protect them. Look, if you will, in Psalms 83. Psalms 83. The remnant refuses to take the mark of the beast, flees to the wilderness when they see the abomination that maketh desolate, sat in the holy place. They go out into the wilderness. Psalms 83, verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Somebody's being hidden. Now, we saw earlier in the chapter here, Psalm 91, that he's hiding somebody beneath the shelter of his wings. There's a remnant in Israel that doesn't go after the beast, that doesn't go after the Antichrist, that believes on Jesus Christ. They're going to see him face to face there. They flee to him, go, oh boy, we really messed up. And they're hidden. They're tucked away. Look, if you will, in Micah chapter 7. Micah 7. Micah chapter 7. Let's start reading with verse 14. Feed thy people. Now, there's no question about that. That's Israel. With thy rod, the flock of thine heritage. There's no question that Israel is God's heritage. Which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. That is where Elijah took on the prophets of Baal. But it's not just one place. Let them feed in Bashan. That's across the Jordan River eastward. So they're going to be hidden in more than one place. It's not just Selah Petra. But it says, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. So going back all the way to Exodus. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, shall I show unto them marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Because the Lord takes this group of people out into the wilderness. They see him there face to face. Makes a covenant with them there. They believe on Jesus Christ. They're still not taking the mark of the beast. And they are hidden there and supernaturally preserved by the same way that the Israelites were preserved in the Old Testament. By manna from heaven. And God supplying them safety. Look at just one more passage here, if you wouldn't mind, along these lines. Look, if you will, in Revelation 12. Revelation 12. So there's layers to it, but the Lord is showing you that he's going to take this remnant out of Israel, and we don't know how many are going to be left over, but maybe 10%. That seems to be the number that keeps coming to mind out of the prophecy, where 10% of Israel is left, and out of that the Lord remakes the greatest nation that will ever be on earth. And he lets them dwell in Mount Zion. They have babies and they expand. But it says in Revelation chapter 12, and again, this is the place where you of course find the dragon. But in verse 6, and the woman, well, let's look in verse 5 before we do that. No, let's look earlier, okay? Sorry. Okay, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. It's kind of nasty to jump in the middle of it. A great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So that's akin to that vision that Joseph saw in Genesis. He's got the sun, the moon, and the stars, and 12 stars at that, so it's his brethren. Verse 2, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, the Catholics make this Mary, but that don't work at all. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now, we who know who that is, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. Okay, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Okay, those stars of heaven are not just stars, they're angels, fallen spiritual creatures, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, you see Jesus Christ in that, sure, but Jesus Christ is not born in the tribulation. But Israel is. Israel as a nation is reborn. I don't have more verses. Well, actually do. Let me just put your finger right there and just let me take you to Isaiah 66 just 1 second. I didn't intend to go into it, but now that we're here, Isaiah 66. Notice down in verse 6, a voice of noise from the city, Isaiah 66, 6. A voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Wonder what that is. That's like the second coming. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. That's the same wording as Revelation 12. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? It's talking about a nation being born. It's talking about Israel being reborn as a nation. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now, going back to Revelation 12, since we looked at the man-child just a second, that's the nation of Israel. You can certainly see Jesus Christ in it. But don't forget that their king, Jesus Christ, will rule all nations with a rod of iron, but they who rule under him is Israel. So that rod applies to them as well. Verse 5, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So there's some that are going to get out. And the woman fled unto the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, 3.5 years. So the woman flees to the wilderness. She's Israel. She has a place prepared of God out there where they will feed her for 1,260 days. Then in verse 7, There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I'm looking for a verse here real quick. Just give me 1 second to find where I was going to find it. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go on a little further. Notice down in verse 12. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, unto her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and half a time. So 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. Bottom line, the serpent persecutes her, and she is providentially spared there. So back to Psalms 91. And there's a lot of folds in that passage that I can't go into tonight. But Psalms 91 and verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So in the tribulation there will be some protected, because they have received Christ, they know Jesus Christ, have not taken the mark of the beast, and they're going to be providentially protected. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, what is that? Is there a bell going off there? Because there's a pretty radical change there. Because that was the quotation from the devil to Jesus Christ on the Mount of Temptation. Go ahead and jump off the pinnacle of the temple, right? For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and he doesn't say, in all thy ways. But that's the citation the devil throws at Christ as a temptation. And notice why he did it. Because in verse 12, they shall bear thee in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. So the devil knows that he's the bad guy in the passage. He knows the Bible. And so he makes sure and throws that passage at Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is going to step on the adder. An adder is a serpent, right? That was the serpent, a young lion, and the dragon, a dragon. I mean, he walketh out as a roaring lion, seeking him who may devour. We've already seen he's a dragon. So he finds himself in that passage. He's going to get trounced at the second coming. So he tempts Christ to jump off the temple so that the angels will come and swoop down and rescue him. that's the reason he did that. Verse 11, again, we got to close this, don't we? We'll come back and maybe deal with it some more next time. Any questions or comments? Questions that